Where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today, saying, where do I want to go? Now, have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever looked at anybody else and said, you know, where do you want to go? And you've heard the statement, you're cruising for a bruising?
Yeah.
Ellen says she has not heard that statement. Being a little Swiss genteel lady, she's never heard the cruising for a bruising. When someone comes up to you and says, you're a dirty rat, you know, your mother is a fink, your mother is nothing. And you say to the person, you're cruising for a bruising, boy. You don't talk like that about my mother. You don't talk like that about me or anybody in my world. However, where do I want to go? Now, if we're going to philosophy school, if we're going to psychology school, if we're going to school and learning techniques and things like that, why do we go to school? We go to school because we want to learn how to be a good diplomat. We want to learn how to put the causes in motion that are beneficial to us, right? Okay. What's the first thing a diplomat learns in school? He learns, don't start a fight. Don't let them irritate you. Don't let them shake your boat. What is the first thing that a diplomat should learn in school? Agree with your adversary quickly. Hmm? Right? Yeah. That's what the diplomat really should learn. Agree with your adversary quickly. Because if you agree with your adversary quickly, you defuse him and he has no ability to be an adversary. We've mentioned someone comes to you and says, that's an ugly dress you have on. You say, oh, I'm sorry. What kind of dress do you think would be my style? And they, bob. See, right away, they're asked for advice, sincere advice. They're asked for being an intelligent response. And they were just being naughty. They were just being irritating. And you were not allowing yourself to be irritated by it. You stood forth powerful, dynamic, forceful, and you were untouched by what they said. Now, that's rare. That's rare. The average person has a tendency to be touched. If the average person had a tendency to be touched, the whole world would be, on an average, at war. You know? The average person is 50% or better, you know. So 50% of the world would be at war all the time if the average person were touched. But the majority of the world are untouched. They do, as my mother taught me, consider the source. If some person is trying to irritate you, don't let them irritate you. Consider the source. Mother would always say, where are you going? What do you want to accomplish? You want to have a fight? You want to be unhappy with somebody? Or do you want to make them a friend? Now, here's how to make them a friend. You make them a friend by asking their advice, asking their suggestions, agreeing with your adversary in a manner of speaking. Now, who taught us that? Who taught us? Oh, what?
Jesus.
Oh, you know the answer? How come you know the answer and none of the others knew the answer? How come? Ellen, how come you knew the answer but none of the others knew the answer?
Wieso hast du eigentlich die Antwort gewusst und die anderen nicht? Because it just came.
Because it just came. Now, Ellen, where do you want to go? Do you want to go in peace, in harmony, in abundance, in health, in love, right action, truth, and all those good things? Is that where you want to go?
Yes.
And if that's where you want to go, What does it mean you have to think about all the time? You have to think about right action, peace, love, and all of those things all the time. If you ever allow yourself not to, then you're in trouble. Now, what is this we have here?
Was haben wir hier eine Schule?
We have a school. We have a school. Now, you go out in the world, and you will not be told that you have a school. You're going to be expected to practice what you have learned. Well, now in here, you're not being tested, you're being fortified. You're not being tested on things, you're being fortified. I don't say to you that you're a fool, because I mean you're a fool. But if you think I mean you're a fool, you're a fool. If I say you're a fool, and you say, well, how can I improve this? Oh, you want to be a better fool, huh? No. How can I improve being a fool? I don't want to be a fool. I'm not going in that direction. Oh, yes, you are. You're going in that direction if you allow anyone to call you a fool. If you allow anyone in the world to see in you that you are a fool, and for you to confirm that by saying, don't you dare say that about me. No? We try to defend ourselves and defend ourselves and protect ourselves and defend others. And whenever we defend others, we're getting ourselves deeper and deeper in trouble. Stop it. This is a school, and we're learning all is in divine order. We're learning that my life is blessed. We're learning that you are not being tested, you're being fortified. I give you all a hard time. Now, I gave you an opportunity a few days ago to perform a grand and fantastic experience. I told you we have a guest who speaks primarily Switzerland, and so we will translate everything for her. And you will translate it simultaneously as I'm speaking, so that she will flow with us and flow with the emotions, flow with the feeling, flow with everything. And then you said, I will talk to her afterwards, and I will listen to the tape with her again and tell her afterwards. And I will tell her afterwards. And then you said, well, I will take care of the morning, and I'll take care of the noon, and I'll take care of the evening. And I said, I wouldn't do that. And you did. You persisted in doing just that. You persisted in saying, teacher, you're full of beans, you know? When you do that, you forget that you're in a school here. I am not the slightest bit interested whether you get something good out of my talks or not. That's up to you. But, as I talked with one of you, you said, well, if I translate simultaneously, I don't get what you're saying. I don't get the information that you're saying. And I said, well, you could listen to it again. Oh, but that's more time. Well, it's more time for you to translate after it has been over and you listen to the tape and translate the tape as you're listening to it, then simultaneously. You see, the wonderful thing about simultaneous translation is that you are so busy translating, you are so busy incorporating the ideas into your mind that you don't have time to think about what these things mean. You only think what you're supposed to say to define them, to describe them. Now, that is all poppycock. Everything I've just said is all a lot of nonsense. Why are you to translate simultaneously? Well, let's look at our rules up here. We're untouchable, we're one-pointed, we're not possessed, we're not judgmental. Then we have some others: self-determination, self-dedication, self-diligence, self-discipline. Let's look at self-discipline for a moment. Is this a school? It's a school. So, in school, you learn discipline. You learn to follow what you are asked to do. Now, if your teacher says to you, write down on a sheet of paper, I am stupid, 50 times. You think to yourself, my God, why do I want to put that into my mind 50 times, you know? Why do I want to do that? Well, just do it. Yes. Yes. And when you're, see, you're arguing with me. She's taking her head, no, and I said, yes. When you are told to do an exercise, do the exercise because there is a benefit for it. Where are you going? Are you going to the devil or are you going to heaven? You know? Where are you going? If you are going into the devil and the hellish ideas there, you're going to do that by doing things your own way. If you're going to go into your heavenly consciousness, you're going to go in a disciplined way. Now, your own way would be a way of doing it comfortably. Your own way would be, all right, Ellen, she's a good example, always a good example. Ellen hates her dogs. And so she feeds them without regard. She gives them bonbons and chocolates and everything else. Because she hates those dogs. And she knows that that will kill those dogs. But it makes her feel good to give it to the dogs because she feels that she's giving the dogs what she gets and what she likes. Of course, she's killing herself too. Now, we watch All Creatures Great and Small, remember? And All Creatures Great and Small?
Yeah.
And we watched the lady who had the little puppy. What was the name of the puppy? Remember? But she had this little puppy dog. And this little puppy dog had flatulence. How you pronounce that? In other words, farting all the time. And she wanted the doctor to say why. And the doctor says, well, what are you feeding to the dog? And she says, oh, nothing, just this perfect stuff and this perfect stuff. And then as the doctor was sitting there, she was popping bonbons, little chocolates, into the dog's mouth. And the doctor said, that's the problem. That's the problem. Chocolate is not good for the dogs. They cannot digest it. It does all sorts of miserable things in their body. You're creating a problem. But she wanted to do it her way. She had a desire to kill. Oh, no, she loved those dogs, that dog. She didn't have a desire to kill. Yes, she did. She had a desire to kill because she did not have self-discipline. And self-discipline would be not to expect that the dogs are living on the same level of awareness that you are. A dog does not have the same dietary needs that you have. If you will feed a dog whatever the diet is that the veterinarian calls for or the diet calls for, that dog will live its entire lifetime basically in good health. Why does a dog have bad health? It has bad health because you destroy it. You destroy it. We walk the path in the morning and it's dark and sometimes so foggy you can't see anything. And Rex will go down and grab something. And he'll grab somebody else's turd, you know. And he will start chewing on it. And I'll say, Rex, I can't see that he's picking it up. So I stick my hand in his mouth, and there he's got it. And I take it out and throw it away. He's, oh, but Dad, that was good. No. You see, if he gets used to doing that, if he gets used to eating things that are pre-digested, he can also get their worms. He can also get whatever things they might have had that he was not vaccinated for. You follow me? So, if we just keep him one-pointed, where do we want to go? We want to have a healthy dog. So to have a healthy dog, we feed him healthy food. But also, we feed him healthy ideas. Now, yesterday, Ellen was saying that Rex, who had just been neutered by the doctor, was still humping on this other dog. And she was saying, well, the other dog is making itself desirable for Rex to do this and stuff like that. Don't talk like that. Because you're prolonging this situation. Say that Rex is no longer interested in that. That's what we had him fixed for, so he wouldn't be interested in sex anymore, you know? He's no longer interested in sex. He's like Button. Button is an old man. Yeah, what is he, 7 years old, something like that? And he's not interested in that. Although, perhaps if some beautiful female dog came along in season, he might think, gee, that's interesting, you know? But they don't have the interest. And so we put the cause in motion that Rex does not have an interest there. And we put the cause in motion that Little Love doesn't have the interest there. And Button already is arrived at that point. But that takes discipline. And the big problem we have is we create and define the entire world according to how we create and define ourselves. If we create and define ourselves as being weaklings, we create the world as weaklings. If we think the world can be manipulated and maneuvered, then we create the world, manipulating and maneuvering us. I have a young man who is in prison, and he's madly in love with a young lady. And the young lady likes him very much, too. And she visits him, and they have a nice time together. And the young man, because he's been in prison for a quarter of a century, he forgets how to be a normal human being. And so he starts manipulating this lady. And he starts telling this lady, you have to do this and you have to do that. He forgets he's in prison and he can't do that. He has to go on her largesse, not on the idea that he can manipulate her. But he tries. And so the lady said to me, she says, I'm through with this relationship. I no longer choose to associate with that person. I love him. He's brilliant. He's fantastic. But he manipulates me, and I will not have that. And I said, well, you manipulate him. That's why he manipulates you. Now, why don't you change your program and just start seeing him doing all of the things that are beautiful and good for him, and all the things that are good and beautiful for you, you see yourself doing. And then the manipulation is gone. The manipulation is gone. You don't need him to do anything, and he doesn't need you to do anything. And then when you talk to him, if he ever says a manipulative thing, you just ignore it. If he ever says something unkind, you just ignore it. You don't empower it. But if you empower it, it's like I tell people who are raising children. If your child says, I want this, and you say, no, you cannot have that. And then you pull out the laundry list of the reasons why you can't have it, and you're dead. You've lost the battle. He's got things to argue with every one of the things on your list. When you say to your child, whom you are raising and whom you're responsible for, you say, no. And that's final, and that's all that's to it. And the child comes, Mom, can I? No. 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 Now, it works. It also works with pets. I have my towel hanging on the towel rack, and Rex thinks that is so attractive, he'd like to pull it down and play with it. He has no idea of destroying it. He has no idea of being bad to it. He just wants to play with it. And that is a no-no. I say, no. I don't say, no, Rex, leave that alone. Don't tell me, oh, Rex, leave my house. I don't say things like that. I just say, no. Because if I start saying, oh, don't play with the towel, you say, oh, boy, this is fun. They're playing with the towel now. You know, he's joining in the game. He's getting excited about it, too. And so I just say, no. Rex was up on my bed, and he was taking the coverlet and starting to chew on it a little bit. I said, nope. And he looked at me, no. And he stopped and hasn't done it. Now, why do we wait so long? Why do we wait so long? Why do we wait so long? To tell our children, no, yes, decision is final. When they're a little baby, and you change their diapers, everything's in order, you fed them, and they're still howling because they want your attention. You say, enough. That's a good word. Better than no. Enough. And then they'll learn when you say enough. That's the end. Because there is no further court of appeals that they can go to. It's over with. And the sooner you do that with children, and consistently do it all their life, they will be fantastic. Because they're coming into your family because they want your guidance, your direction, your teaching, your training. They want who you are in their life. That's why they came to your family. And so it's up to you to give it to them, lovingly, but definitely. So, your young man is ready to drive the car, and he's 15. And he says, Dad, can I take the car? Son, you don't have a license. Once you get a license, then we'll talk about it. Now, if the son had been raised right, the father would just say, no, and that's final. No more decision, no more discussion, no more wishing on his part, you know. When he's 16, he gets his license, and then he says, Dad, can I use the car? And Dad will say, yes, but ask me first, always. And then he, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Or father will say, no, that car is my livelihood. His father says to himself, the car is my livelihood. I want that car always in good shape. I don't want anything to happen to it. If that car is out of business for 1 minute, I'm out of business. Now, he doesn't say that to the son. He just says, no. And the son says, Dad has spoken. He doesn't need to know the reasons. He doesn't need to know the reasons that his father thought that he might crash the car, he might put the car out of business, and then the father couldn't drive to work and do things. He doesn't need to know that the father had a lack of trust in him in that respect in any way. The answer is just pure no. You understand? It's so simple and so pure and so beautiful, but you have to know where you want to go. Do you want to raise a child to be a wonderful child? Then keep it simple, sweetheart, you know. If you want to have a perfect marriage, keep it simple, sweetheart. Don't tell everything the minute you come in the door. Spread it out over the evening, you know, of the wonderful things that happen to you during the day. You know how the kids come in, Mommy, guess what? This happened. All right, already, you know. Spread it out over the evening, you know. The excitement is so wonderful. But where do you want to go? Where do you want to achieve anything? I say, what you want to do, you want to be master of yourself. You want to be the creator of your world. You want to be in charge of every experience that you ever experienced or ever will experience. First day? And the only way you can do that is be self-disciplined. And to be self-disciplined means you know when to say no or enough or whatever. Training myself how to get along with my dog is the same thing. It's the same thing. You have to know where you want to go. I want to have a good relationship with my dog. I want him to walk with me without pulling on the leash and all the other good things. And the only way to accomplish that is for me to know where I want to go and first discipline myself. One of the statements they made, I've said it before in the dog training book, they said, if a dog pulls on the leash, stop. Stand still till he sits down. And then when he sits down, say, good boy. And then say, go, or okay. Then you walk, and the minute he starts pulling again, you stop. Now, am I self-disciplined? Can I tolerate all these stops? Can I have the patience to do it? If I have the patience now, in just a short time, days or weeks, the dog will be trained forever. And is that worth it? Yes. So I am in for short walks with him until he has gained that confidence and knows that he is out for a walk with me, not to go smelling the countryside. He has no need to smell the countryside. You think he does. And so therefore, until he is trained, nobody takes him for a walk, because he gets to be confused as to what is allowable. Once he knows how to walk gently on the leash and follow directions, then anyone can take him. That's perfectly okay. But until then, he should learn only one series of things. So now, my friends, I am here. You are students. You want what I'm sharing. Please follow my instructions to you without discussion, without feeling that it's stupid. And when I say something to you that is absolutely outrageous, at Los Angeles, is south of San Diego, for instance, don't instantly go into conniption fits and say, how stupid, how stupid. Just say, okay, and then conceive of it south of San Diego. You can do that. You have the imagination to do that. As you do this, you are learning to follow directions. You are learning to develop your imagination. You are learning to do all the things necessary to be a spiritual master. And is it possible that the ocean could sweep San Diego north of Los Angeles? Not that we can understand it, but what does San Diego set on? It sets on a tectonic plate. What does Los Angeles or San Francisco set on? They set on tectonic plates. And these are plates under the ground that are constantly moving. Well, now, how soon is San Diego going to be north of Los Angeles? God, I need $1 million. And God, to you, $1 million is nothing. And God says, yeah, that's true. And God says, and to me, time is nothing, too. And so you say, okay, God, I'd like that $1 million. And God says, just a minute, I'll give it to you. The minute is an endless motion of time, timelessness. I'm not saying it right, but the joke is there, saying that we cannot compare peanuts and acorns. We have to look at all these things on their own merit. And San Diego, north of Los Angeles, is not impossible. Improbable, but not impossible. And so when you learn to flow with these imaginative ideas, what you do is you open yourself up to your divine within. Because 1 minute you're sick, and the next minute you're whole and perfect. How can that be? You didn't go through the period of time it takes to get well. 1 minute you're poor, and the next minute you're rich. How could that be? 1 minute you have friends, and the next minute you have none. How can that be? There's no time. There's no space. There's only the now. And the sooner we accept the now, then we know where we want to go. And then we are there. Have a lovely day. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.